Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We were there last week and we read the first 17 verses. This week I just want to reread the verses that we were focusing on. You have, of course, obviously, heard of the phrase and the concept, pay it forward. It's a concept that was popularized by a novel with the same name and subsequently a movie in 2000, so now it's 17 years old, was made, Paying It Forward. It was a very popular movie at the time, and it was that movie, more than anything else, that set into motion this idea that, you know, instead of paying someone back for the kindness that they have shown us, instead, we're going to take that kindness and we're going to do something for someone else. So we're going to pay that kindness forward. Right? So when you're in a coffee line, you might pay for the person who's standing behind you. And, you know, there's any number of ways that people pay it forward. And from the pay it forward movement came the random acts of kindness idea, which has been popular, but it's all an attempt to make this world a better place. It's all an attempt to, you know, like, you know, someone's been kind to me, and I, in turn, am going to pass that on to somebody else and try to make their life a little bit better. And it seems to me that that's exactly what we have been talking about the last few weeks as we think about God's lavish grace that He's bestowed on us, that He's directed to us, that He has given us. And as we thought together about not hoarding that, not storing that, not simply being content to bask in God's goodness and His love and His kindness to us, but now paying that forward, if you will, or to use the imagery that we have used in the last couple of weeks, is we're not, it's not about being a reservoir. It is about being a river or a channel of God's grace in which we pay God's kindness and His goodness and His grace forward to someone else. And what does that look like? Well, the first week, we learned that it means to forgive, and to forgive as we have been forgiven. And we thought about what forgiveness means. Last week, we talked about what it means to be patient with each other and to bear with each other and others in the world, particularly those who are very different from us or those who are not so easy to like. You know, we're all different, right? And we're all very imperfectly human. And now this morning, I want to go back to the well. What well? Colossians 3, 12, 13, and 14, and talk about another key word that's found in Paul's instructions. So let's read it together. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And the key word that I want to focus on today with you is the word kindness. So why? Why are we selecting that word? What is so important about, you know, okay, kindness, right? I'm going to be kind to the person standing behind me in the coffee line. Oh, no, this kind of kindness that we're talking about is far richer and far deeper than that. this kind of kindness that we're talking about is so important that Paul listed it as the fruit of the Spirit. He listed it as the mark of Christian love in 1 Corinthians 13. This kind of kindness is a mark of a grace-filled life. Why? Because kindness is a concrete expression of love. Let me put it in another way. Kindness is love put into action. So think about the people who are closest to you, if you would. And you think about, you know, your family, whether that's your children, whether that's your parents, whether that maybe is your siblings or your spouse. Think about your close friends. Or think about people who may not know you quite as well, maybe your colleagues, your coworkers, or your neighbors. When they think of you, do they think of you as a kind person? Or you think about people who don't know you all that well because you only run into them occasionally, but you've had some interaction that has been significant. Or then you even think about people who have had an interaction with you in which they have rubbed you the wrong way, or have not themselves been particularly kind to you. The question is, what have they seen in you? And it is a very good question. And this morning I want to make five observations with you as we think about this kind of kindness which the Apostle Paul speaks about. And first and foundationally, just so we say it. And if you say, by now, Jack, this is obvious to us, good. But just so we agree that it is so obvious, kindness flows out of a recognition and gratitude for God's kindness to me. That is the starting point for everything that we have talked about in the past few weeks. In Titus 3, Paul writes this. He says, but when kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. This goes back to Lent when we thought about grace and mercy and the difference between unconditional love and grace and mercy and performance-based attempts of ours to be acceptable to God. And here Titus says, no. No, it is about what God has done for us, not what we have done for God. And because we are rivers, because we are not reservoirs, we in turn take God's grace and His mercy and His kindness to others in the things that we do, in the things that we say. Well, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Kindness flows out of a recognition and gratitude for God's kindness to us. So, first and foundationally, just so that we say it again, that's the first observation. Here's the second one. Kindness is expressed unconditionally. You think about the people that Jesus reached out to. I mean, He befriended the lonely. He befriended the unlovely. He built relationships with the powerless and the unimportant. And the special mark, as you see and study the life of Jesus, the special mark of that distinguishes Christ followers is that kindness is unconditional. When it is not deserved, when it is not returned. Kindness that we offer as Christ-like Easter people is kindness free from expectations. Have you ever been involved in a mission trip, or have you ever been involved in community service and there is absolutely no appreciation expressed for what you're doing? And you say to yourself, man, if they could just bring themselves to say two words, that would be great. Just thank you. On more than one occasion, I have had to work through this in my own mind and heart as I thought about spending the better part of a week putting on a roof for someone, building houses for someone, food distribution, whatever it is. I've more than one occasion, I've had to remind myself why I am doing this. What is it all about? And it is all about what Christ has done for me. And in turn, trying to do something in the name of Christ for another. Now, the natural and expected thing is to be kind to your own, right? The natural and expected thing is to return favor for favor. But we're called to do more than that. We're called to be generous to those who are in need and will never be able to pay us back. We're called to be kind to people, even to people who will just never be grateful. We're called to be kind to people who are not particularly likable. And harder yet, we're called to be kind to people who do us wrong, even. You think about Jesus' teaching on the Sermon of the Mount, and talk about a tough call. Jesus spoke about loving our enemies. He spoke about praying for those who persecute us. He talked about otherwise doing good in return for evil. There is nothing particularly easy about this concept of biblical kindness. Kindness is unconditional. The third observation I want to make with you is that kindness sees the infinite value of each person. And it is sometimes hard to like other people. We thought about that last time. People who are hard to take because of things that they do or things that they say or attitudes that they portray or values that they hold, and you think, oh my word. And we sometimes forget that every human being is loved by God. And we are so quick to form our own judgments about other people, particularly people who are unlike us and think so very differently and exhibit strange, quote-unquote, kinds of attitudes and behaviors. But we sometimes forget that every human being is valued by God, loved by God, regardless of who they are, what they look like, the things they say, the things that they do. You think again about who Jesus spent time with. He spent time with anyone and everyone. It really didn't matter who they were or how they were looked upon by others or what judgments other people made about them. It didn't really matter because every human being is highly valued. Every human being is an image bearer of God. And if we could only begin to see people the way that God sees people, if we could only begin to love people the way that Jesus loved people, enough to care to spend time with them, enough to minister and serve them. Kindness sees the infinite value of every human being. Here's the next observation. Kindness is love put into action. In the original language, by the way, the Greek word is krestos, and it has this idea. It's a twofold idea. It has this idea that it is love in concrete action. All right? It's not just intentionality. This is love in concrete action, and it is born out of concern for somebody. That's the biblical idea of kindness. Kindness is more than intention, it is action. So we have lots of good intentions, but good intentions don't always translate into action. You know that, and I know that, right? So we see somebody and we say, oh, I want to spend some time with that person. I'm going to do that sometime. I'm going to write a note of encouragement for that person sometime. I'm going to do this because I recognize I see some things, and yet we are never able to bring ourselves to get to it. Good intentions don't always translate into action. In the Old Testament, David had a dear friend who would do anything for David. Never mind that Jonathan's father was King Saul and had sought to kill David for a number of years. And David lived those years as a fugitive, running for his life from Jonathan's father. And Jonathan died, Saul died, David became king. And he asked this question. He asked, is there anyone left in the house of Saul that I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? I want to pay it forward, if you will. And he found a way. There was a crippled guy, Mephibosheth. And he adopted him as his son, and he ate at the king's table, because he wanted to show kindness to someone else because of what he'd experienced. With kindness, the intent is always to make life better, to build up, to encourage, to support, to bring healing. As the recipient of God's love and mercy, His lavish grace, what do I do with that now? I'm going to turn around and be a channel, a reservoir, and somehow touch the life of another person. And maybe it's with sponsoring a compassion child. Or maybe it's by going to the county jail and getting involved in the ministry that happens in the God Pod. Or maybe it's serving as a chaplain with Trucker's Friends Ministry. Or maybe it's with Feeding America or whatever it is. Putting love into action requires three things. So here are three subpoints. If anybody's taking notes, putting love into action means three things. It means, first of all, seeing the needs of people around us. By that I mean to say kindness starts with our eyes. Kindness starts with our capacity to observe and take note and realize, right? And the problem is, well, let me state it positively. Many of you have this kind of antenna, and you're so in tune with what's happening in the lives of people. People that come across your path frequently, or maybe not so frequently, but intuition, you can just sense. And then there are those of us who are mostly clueless. And the reason why we mostly don't see the needs of others is because the pace of our lives is such that we're just trying to keep up with our schedules. And we're just trying to take care of our concerns. And it's hard for us, some of us, to think about other people when we can barely keep up with the things in our own lives. So as you think about that, I'd like you just, Where would you put yourself on this scale here? Are you, would you say, yeah, you know, that what Jack says is absolutely, you know, and my life is so cluttered and so busy and I just have a lot of growth to do here? Or would you say on the opposite end, oh no, I'm good here. I'm in a good place here. This is something I do well. But just in an attempt to make sure that we're not listening without processing, or we're listening only with our minds and not with our hearts, where would you put yourself on this scale? So I said that seeing the needs of other people around us was important if we were going to put love into action, right? And then there's something else, empathizing with people's ability to, with people's concerns. In other words, you know, are we willing to try to understand someone's experience? Are we willing to try to put ourselves in somebody's shoes? Are we willing to make an effort in trying to have some empathy with particular situations and concerns by others? Or are we just so full of our own concerns and needs? You know, this is a good question here. So again, you know, the first one was the ability to see and observe. The second one was your willingness to try to put yourself in another person's shoes. Where are you on this scale of needing work or doing great? And I would just encourage you to think about this again today, maybe later on. Well, here's the third thing that we need to do, and that is to take action. Proverbs 3 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you,' when you already have it with you." Or 1 John 3 puts it this way, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech." Let's put our money where our mouth is. It's not just about having good intentions. Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Kindness is putting love into action. Now, sometimes it's relatively easy to show this kind of kindness to others because it doesn't really require much from us. But sometimes it does. Sometimes it requires an awful lot from us. It can impose on our already busy schedules. I see a need. I don't possibly have any room in my life to try to do anything about it. And you know how it goes. Other people's needs can come at the most inconvenient time for us. Just not the right time. I just, you know, hey, it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm just trying to wind down. Or I'm in the busiest season of the year for right now. Sometimes kindness can require us to step out of our comfort zone and to take risks and to make sacrifices. This is way too uncomfortable for me. I just can't imagine myself trying to do this. I can't, right? Or it's going to require too much of me. And sometimes kindness requires not just one-time involvement, but, wow, ongoing involvement. And am I willing to make any kind of a beyond a short-term involvement, investment with anybody? Because if that's what it requires, I'm going to think twice about that, right? Or, you know, as I said, the recipients of the investments of your time and resources and energy just can't seem to express any appreciation. Sometimes, have you ever done something for somebody else only to find that you were taken advantage of? Oh my. And what does that do to your motivation? to pay it forward to somebody else. And yet, so yeah, putting love into action can be difficult. So once again, I'm going to ask you, where would you see yourself here? I'm going to ask you to think about this today. Okay, now that brings me to the final observation that I want to make. So this would be the fifth observation, and that is that kindness often requires great strength. Now, we've already seen that, right? When Jesus says, love your enemies, bless those who persecute you, right? You know, pray for those who give you a hard time. That's my paraphrase, right? And we have this idea that kindness is kind of a wimpy virtue. I mean, we'd rather talk about loyalty. We'd rather talk about vision, leadership. We'd rather talk about courage. But kindness, it sounds just a little wimpy. Well, it's not wimpy at all. God is a kind and gracious God, but He's also a God who can't tolerate sin and won't. God can be tough in His kindness because ultimately He wants what is best for us, right? Kindness is not sweeping things under the carpet. It's not spineless. It is seeking the best for the other person, and sometimes that means tough love. And if any of you have shown, had to show tough love to a family member, you know how painfully difficult that can be. And you know that you had to garner all of your inner resources to be able to do that. Sometimes the kindest thing that you can do for a person is to simply tell them the truth. You level with them. Sometimes you confront them, right? A real friend does not stand by and watch you make one mistake after another. What kind of friend is that? What kind of love is that? Psalm 141, yes. Verse 5 puts it this way. Let a righteous man strike me, that is kindness. Let him rebuke me, that is oil. And in the ancient days, oil on your head was a blessing. That is oil on my head. Now, if there's one thing that I've learned about this, and as I thought about kindness, is that there is nothing accidental about this. God often brings people into our lives in one way or another, just at the right time. I mean, when they need encouragement, when they need affirmation, when they need kindness and love and help. And if there's one thing that Scripture has made abundantly clear to us and continues, so maybe this is, again, the obvious. So, again, we just state the obvious. If there's one thing that Scripture makes it clear, is that God placed us here to touch the lives of others and seek the good of others. So the question is, who can you show kindness to this week? Who in your arena of relationships might you have an opportunity to show kindness to this week? And in some cases, that might involve costly kindness. In other words, it requires something from you that is not easy, right? It costs you something. But God places us here as blessed, grace-filled people. And He's just waiting for us to extend that grace and love and kindness to others who need it. Years ago, there a Catholic, a bishop, and I've read a number of his writings. This would be the second time in short order that I have raised his name, Fulton J. Sheen. Fulton Sheen, was visiting a leper colony in southern Africa, and he was leaning over a man who was lying down, whose body was eaten by leprosy. And what happened is that the chain on his neck loosened, it broke, and his crucifix fell on that man, and it fell right on an open sore on this man's body. And Fulton Sheen was repulsed by that. And he thought for a moment, now what am I going to do? And then, moved with compassion for this man's plight, he just reached into that sore and took up that cross. And he began to minister to this man with love and kindness and compassion. And that is a powerful image that I want to leave with you this morning, because it has much to say about who you and I are as Christ-filled people. God wants us to be in the world where people are bleeding emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. And he wants us to take up the cross and to put love into action. If there's one thing that we can say about Christianity is not a faith in a religion that's about ease and comfort. Although sometimes we want to make it that way. It is not a religion that involves and requires and offers ease and comfort. It is radically other-centered. And if there's nothing in our lives that has to do with other people and with meeting their needs, then I think we have to re-examine ourselves. Now, I want to close with this final scripture. It's from Matthew chapter 25. And Jesus is telling us here that whenever we show an act of kindness to others, just know that first and foremost, we're showing it to Him. He said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Wow, those of you who are involved in the Kent County Jail through Forgotten Man Missions. Wow. I mean, this is really powerful stuff. "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And I want to suggest that that thought in and of itself ought to lead to a lifetime of sharing God's love and His kindness to people around us. That's God's word for us this morning.